to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf Dealer. They're the green guys up there on Twin View Boulevard. Go up and see them if you're looking for a tractor or a mower or a implement. Need parts or service for your tractor, they do it all up there. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. They got some great financing going on right now, too. 84 months, 0%. So,
how many months?
84.
Okay, I thought you said 84. 84. How long is that?
The next step is they're going to be free, but I haven't actually announced that yet. But you might want to go up there and ask them when that's going to happen. You know?
Hey, no one's doing that. That's exciting. Remember when all the cars did that?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So if your tractor's a pain, go switch it out.
0% is back. So, yeah, go up and see them.
That's fun. Huh. Well, and the other part that's fun is we're not sick this week, mostly. Kind of
mostly,
are.
Yeah.
Kind of are, but mostly not.
That's some residual.
Yeah, it's unlikely we'll have to throw blankets over the microphone so we can cough really, 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 really loud. Probably not. So let's see. What is happening? We're having a little issue getting our guest on the line, or maybe we're not. Huh. I'm going to tell you about her anyway.
Yeah, tell us all about her.
We are taking a... Taking a departure today. Kind of a fun departure, actually. I read this article. Okay, I'll start with that. I got to post it, too. I'll post it for you online. I read an article in February of 2018 in The Federalist. And it was, I should have it pulled up here, but I don't. Anyway, it was a terrific article about the transgender movement and who was behind it. And at that time, we were all still thinking, we were all thinking that it was like a social thing and it was, it was just to mess up society and all that sort of thing. And this article, here we go, Who Are the Rich White Men Institutionalizing Transgender Ideology? That was February 20th of 2018. And actually, they list this on the Federalist. It was a 17-minute read. So it was not a little blip of an article. I mean, it was a long one. And it kind of caught my eye because it was back when, you know, men were responsible for everything and, you know, they were getting blamed for everything. And I thought, oh, my gosh, how are they getting blamed for this? Well, it turned out that the issues were, this is skipping into the article. I found exceedingly rich white men with enormous cultural influence are funding the transgender lobby and various transgender organizations. These include, but are not limited to, Jennifer Pritzker, who I guess is a man who thinks he's a woman now, George Soros, Martine Rothblatt, who is a man who identifies as a transhumanist, transgender and a transhumanist. So I guess if it has trans in front of it, he's doing it, or she's doing it. Tim Gill, Drummond Pike, Warren and Peter Buffett, John Stryker, Mark Bonham, and Rich Wayland. He is deceased, but it's his philanthropic organization that is worth a gazillion dollars. So separating transgender issues from LGBT infrastructure is not an easy task, and the wealthiest donors have been funding LGBT institutions before they became LGBT instituted. And you're looking at Tides Foundation, all sorts of stuff. And when you dig down into this article, this is a new medical market for them. Clinics for children, clinics for people going through all these changes, taking medications for years and years and years and years. All of these things that it was a giant money grab, bottom line. And I think people have kind of caught on to that. But honestly, that was 2018. And we still have not really caught up with that. That has not come out. But we're constantly being barraged now with, men and women sports. And, you know, they had it was on something. And there was a jump ball at a basketball game. And it was a boy, obviously, I don't know if you're dressed like a girl in a basketball uniform, everybody wears the same thing, but it was a boy who was like 6 feet tall and a girl who was like 5 foot five. And then the boy jumps up to like 8 feet and hits this, you know, sticks his arm up, and that was the end of that. There was absolutely no, like, no fairness, no...
Well, I read an article about a boxer, a trans boxer that was in women's boxing, and I guess I could, you can imagine what the outcome of that was. It was not good.
No, not good. So anyway, Sharon Byrne is the new head of Wolf that I hadn't heard of before. It's the Women's Liberation Front. And I was like, well, I didn't even know there was a Women's Liberation Front. It's a nonprofit, government relations. She's a nonprofit and government relations expert with 2 days, or 2 days.
2 days experience?
2 days experience. Definitely what the resume said. And they were like, oh my God, 2 days? Great. All right. Sorry about that. Glad she's not on the line. she's got 2 decades. Yeah, that's 20 years, not 2 days, of advocacy leadership experience. And she has this really long, rich history. And it, I'll tell you the rest of it if we can get her on the line. And I've got, there's a lady who lives up here in Northern California who has a home up here and lives in Southern California, and she said, hey, I've got this friend, Sharon. And I said, well, you know what? I've been trying to talk about this, this whole women's issue, and nobody really wants to talk about it, that this transgender thing is, where this intersects with women's rights. We've always kind of wondered, like, where are the feminists in all this as, girls are being, you know, basically crushed in sports and everything else. So I thought we'd bring on somebody who knew about that sort of thing, but we're having a little trouble doing it. Well. So let the games begin. How about we do, let's see, let's take a nice little break perhaps, or maybe we got a cell phone call her or do something fun. I don't know. I don't even have songs pulled up. It's terrible. Life in real time.
Yeah.
Life in real time is a problem. And Bill's just sitting over there looking at the sky. What can you do for me, Bill? What do you got?
I have nothing. I was just imagining a really cool interview right now, which I'm sure will happen. We gotta do some juggling here.
God, you are no.
I know. I'm sorry.
No help.
No, but I've heard for quite a while that the women's movement is very upset about the whole trans thing because
they're kind of not saying, and they're being silenced.
Yeah, well, a little bit.
There's a lot of that, which is kind of interesting. So anyway, yeah, we'll take our little break ahead of time, and then. They're like, this is the only problem about live radio. You have live problems. You have real-time problems. So our real-time problem is our guest, or lack thereof. How about this? We are going to take a break. I shot him a song, Allentown. It's got nothing to do with nothing, but I do like that song, and I saw it. It was early in the playlist, because it starts with the letter A.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Sneak preview. We have a new engineer, so he might as well do our show for the first time and just have, like, tons of problems. What the heck? Let's put everybody under the diamond crusher here. All right. In the meantime, I'm posting the article for you from the Federalist, because honestly, you really ought to read it. It's like 7 years old. Oh, and by the way, before you send me emails, I did try to get the lady who wrote the article to come on the show. I'll make another run at it, because I did it a couple of years ago. And I really wanted her to come on and talk about it. It's the best article I have read since, actually, and I've kind of looked at this issue. Couldn't get anybody to come on, and that was a hot one. So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can find everything about the show, not the screw-ups, you know, just the good stuff about the show, at wethepeopleradio.us.
We're living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the Joseph's chambers. They're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't.
How fun is that? And I picked a really long song, accidentally. Oh, what a day, what a day. All right, so this is the thing. Turns out our good new friend Sharon had to have an emergency something or other. And she's having an emergency, I can't be on the radioectomy.
And it was successful.
Yeah, ruh-roh. And she forgot to let us know. So we just got a text from her from wherever you get those done. And so we thought we would roll you back into our other good friend, who is Lyle Rapacki. We chatted with him about elections and stuff in November, and we are not prepared to talk about the transgender movement for the next 2 hours, just full disclosure. Otherwise, I would have done it 7 years ago when I wanted to. But
I think you need to clarify that statement. Would you want to do 7 years ago?
Hey, you know what? That's going to be a surprise for you later.
Oh, no.
Oh, bad things are happening. See, this is why we don't ad-lib. So anyway, they're ready to pick up with Dr. Rapacki for you. And then we are going to put the screws to Sharon, kind of drive to Santa Barbara to do it. But we'll put the screws to her and get her back on. And meanwhile, we'll be totally healed. We won't be sick at all next week. We thought we weren't sick this week, but we're going to go play sick right now. So have a great, great afternoon. We will see you all next week. And here is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. We haven't had Dr. Lyle on for a long time. I don't know what the deal was. He was pretty important, you know, and blew us off.
Well,
and stuff.
I heard that the check never arrived. So
for the $1.85.
Yeah.
So before we completely launch into all of that buffoonery, so he is actually a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist, just in case you were curious. Since June of 2010, he has provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. Dr. Lyle also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and governmental communities. He's the author of dozens of white pages, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement and public safety agencies nationally. He's the owner of Sentinel Intelligence Services, which carries out these functions as well as provides consultations to elected officials in and out of Arizona and other clients in the industry. We will get into the rest of it later, but he's up to all sorts of things. And we haven't – shoot, I forgot to list when the last time we spoke with him. I'm going to look while we are – is his microphone on? He's very quiet. He's not usually this quiet. There's something funky going
on. Can you hear me now?
There you go.
There we go.
He had you on super mute. You're like, tell her to stop it.
I was sitting having a nice doze, and then all of a sudden I kept hearing all this chatter.
And then ba-bang. Ba-bang. So, we haven't talked to you since January 29th of this year. In the heck?
Well, legal counsel suggested I not discuss anything until your check for $1.85 cleared. Now, I will say to the audience that the first part of the check cleared the full dollar. I mean,
it was the 85 cents where we bungled it.
But that 85 cent thing took how many months to sort through?
I called the bank, Lyle. You can go ahead and run that through again. I think it'll go through this time.
Bill, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of you, brother.
I know it. It's boy to boy. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
None of this woke to woke crap.
No. No, when it comes down to money, we don't mess around.
No, we don't.
No, not when you're under $2, that's for sure.
No, a man needs to know his limits.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. So what have you been doing the past year?
So, what show is this again?
Yeah. Well, since we haven't talked to you in a long time, we don't have to do the Seinfeld show where we talk about nothing. We can actually talk about something.
We're already doing it.
I know. Okay, you can't help it. It's like a sickness.
Oh,
you make that happen.
Oh my gosh.
For real, I looked at my list of, people we hadn't talked to in a while, and I thought, what is going on with him anyway? So, full disclosure,
he did some other balance checks.
Yeah, well, also. I emailed him and said, hey, how come you're not coming on with this? He's like, how come you haven't invited me? So, I guess it's a tie game. We suck, you suck, yeah.
Okay. I did not say it that way.
You kind of did. It was email. Email, you know how it is. Email always comes.
I know exactly.
I think it was the all caps.
It sounded so aggressive.
Bill, I could hear the shouting. Yeah. you and I, Bill, we know these things.
Yeah, that's right.
What is this? Guy Day? What's happening?
Now what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I know. Well, you had... Okay, there's just been a ton of stuff. And, hey, before we goof around and blow it, you tell us about your Arizona Today show, because that is still going on and you've had a lot of really good people on there.
Yeah.
Let's begin with the promotion.
Since I don't do any promotions, this is awesome.
Yeah,
Arizona Today is a national show that I began right near the end of the audit, the forensic audit, in Phoenix, in 2021. And so I began Arizona Today because people wanted to know what was going on, and it just took off. I've been very blessed over many years, as Aaron knows, to have worked with a lot of different elected officials. So I've been very blessed to have met a lot of neat people. And so when it came time to discuss certain elements of the forensic audit, there were things I could not say because of sensitivities at the time, but we discussed as much as we could because we thought the American people needed to know everything. And so the Arizona Today just continued that way. I'm not a reporter. I'm not a media person. I have no background in that. And I'm more interested in if somebody's speaking on the show, I want them to have all the time they can and to explain what's going on in whatever field they're in. So that's kind of a brief synopsis there.
Nice. What's the best way for people to get, like, on the mailing list or, you know, your email list?
Because when my administrative assistant posts the show, she puts it on 10 platforms, Rumble, Get'em or Getter. I don't know what to be.
Thank God you're not the one posting it.
No, you don't want me around computers. But they're on different platforms. And then she sends them to me, and I send them out to my email list of about 500. And out of that, about another 10 on platforms. So by the time Arizona Today goes up, it's on about 20 national platforms. But people can access it directly. Just go to Arizona2day.com. Arizona2day.com. And just go on and take a look at stuff.
Nice. Nice, yeah. Because I think that, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that is not accurate. And... not well researched and that sort of thing, and so it's always nice for people to have a source where they can get information that is credible.
Oh, that's nice. Bill, do I have to give a dime back now?
No.
Can just write off that 85 cents.
So the $1.85 is now $1.75.
Yeah, just let that go.
You keep it all. I'll make sure you keep it all.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. You're in there for me.
Not a problem.
So, I didn't think it was really worth a dime anyway, Bill.
I don't give a dime. Is that the deal? Today's show. I just don't give a dime. I think we can still say dime on the radio. There's all sorts of words we can't say.
Oh, watch it.
It's horrible.
He's getting ready to go for the button. Well, so So with your with the audit and all that stuff, I don't know that any of that stuff ever ends, but what is the kind of what is the latest? You guys sent it to the Attorney General after you found all of that, but then
I think you sat on it. Yeah.
They blow you off.
No, you guys are right. The Attorney General did not know the depth of the evidence that we had submitted because underlings to him kept the evidence from getting to the Attorney General in full. But we didn't know that for months. Mm. So there has been a concerted effort across this nation to not bring any investigation to alleged fraud and or security breaches to the election process. Mm. Secondly, if some form of evidence is presented in such a irrefutable manner that the courts have to intervene, we're finding that the courts won't. We also find that prosecutors, including attorney generals, are not willing to step up and serve the people whom they represent. So it's been very difficult. It'd be like pushing pudding uphill.
Yeah.
And the hill is fairly good size, but let's just for the sake of a visual symbolism, you're pushing this pudding uphill. There's nothing really per se majorly in your way, okay? I mean, there's not things that you got to blow up or work around. I mean, you can go pretty well straight up. The problem is it's such a distance and it's so unnatural terrain. And there is no assistance. So if you lose anything, you have no one to call on to help you. What I mean by all of this is when Arizona uncovered the election fraud, the alleged election fraud on November 7th, Representative Finchin called me. He said, here's what I have. Would you be willing to coordinate a joint legislative hearing? Because I've already known you've done five for us. And five or six, I don't remember, I think five. And he said, would you consider doing this one? That was my introduction on November 7th to what has now grown nationwide to be a mammoth cover-up
right.
in election integrity. Now, that started it. So on November 7th, 8th, if you will, I began to piece together the whole coordination of that joint legislative hearing when Rudy Giuliani and his team arrived. So I had the legislators to secure. I had Giuliani's team to secure. I had to bring in all these different witnesses that were scheduled to testify in open session. And we can just go on down the list. I don't mean to bore you, but I mean, there was a lot of stuff. Well, in the course of doing this, I was also briefed as to what had been feared that took place at the elections. When I began to receive some of that intelligence, it mirrored what we had in Arizona. And so that became very concerning. Long story short, what we've learned is Arizona plus six other states were targeted. They were all swing states. And they were targeted for change in 2020. Trump is not at all received well by the globalists, the elites, the uniparty people. Not at all. He is not one of the global elites, and they know there's no way they can sway him to become one. So he's a hindrance in the institution of the global community. And I mean, we can talk about that later if you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that, you know, the thing that we kept hearing in the wider narrative was that, you know, they went and counted the paper ballots and they all came out the same.
Well,
okay, that's the short version.
Okay. Yeah. Let me give you a rambling version. One part's not any less than the other. It's just
As soon as I figure out what song we're playing, we're going to have to take a break, though. So go, please ramble while I stress out since I was screwing around and didn't realize it was 20 after. Cue the rambling.
Do some rambling?
Or yeah, cue the rambling.
Is Papa coming back on?
They'll be around. Don't worry, they're listening.
I was like, what?
Well, because they pay me a little, you know, I don't want to say much. I mean, yours is $1.85, but they did beat you.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that. But anyway, I thought it was really neat. I got to drive one of their machines.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did they get a picture of that, though?
I don't want to discuss it. My attorney says we're not allowed to discuss this. Yeah.
Oh, that is sad.
Papa there's machinery.
You're fired. All right.
Yeah.
In honor of Man Day, since we're having Man World here at We the People, we've got a good song for you. We'll be right back. Yeah, so there you go. Those are your directions for the rest of the show. We want it all. We want it all right now. Okay. So in all seriousness, you guys had to count the actual paper ballots again, and from what was reported, whether that's accurate or not, but what was actually reported that we heard was that the paper ballot count came out the same. Was that even accurate?
That's accurate.
Okay. So the whole paper ballots will solve all of our problems because they're super accurate? Not necessarily.
No, not at all. You can forge paper ballots, and if you don't check that, you'll never know.
Yeah, because you're just counting the same bad ballots over again.
That's correct. We have sworn testimony notarized and fully submitted under perjury laws that tens of thousands of ballot affidavits did not match voter signature. Now, I have video on this. If you go on my show, ArizonaToday.com, and look for We the People. I know that sounds funny because that's you guys, but it's Shelley Bush, We the People. Maybe you're doing it even while we're speaking, because I know you know your way around all that stuff. Aaron.
Let's see. No, carry on.
Oh, okay. And so the affidavits have stood the test of time. Excuse me, because we've also had investigators check the very same thing separately. $1.2 million ballot envelopes were counted before signatures were even verified in Maricopa County. So that's half. About 2.5 million votes were cast. So that's half. What has now become provable was that 10,000 plus ballots were delivered to Maricopa County while the voting counting stopped for unknown reasons. So when the voting centers stopped and was no longer counting votes, it gave a reason why they stopped. By the time they reopened again, guess what? Biden was ahead by whatever he was deficit. So that's provable. That's not an opinion.
Yeah, and so, but what was the whole thing where they said that, you know, and I watched your hearing and all of that in real time, you know, what, two years ago?
God's well, yeah, because, yeah, Steve, because when we set it up, I had 10, am I right? If I am wrong by one, I apologize, it's 2.5 years ago, but I had 10 national media outlets that I approved to film everything, all 10 hours from 9 in the morning until I forget when I was supposed to go to 6 or so. I moved it up and got us out of there about an hour sooner. But it was a 10-hour day, and a right side, oh my God, I'm going to do this and screw it up, aren't I?
You're supposed to surprise us with that part.
Yeah, I know, but all these wonderful media outlets worked with me and my representatives, because I had different representatives coordinating different, I had 10 different sections I was coordinating on and on. So it became very complicated pretty quickly. But one of the things that we also learned after this joint public hearing, and then I started my show, it was clearly, I was not clearly trying to be competitive with you guys or anybody. I never even felt like that. I just thought, well, there's some information that should get out to the people, and I think that might make a difference. I mean, I think it'll help them understand. And that's really what I did.
Yeah.
And it took off.
Yeah, it was really helpful, because you were talking to the people who were actually involved in all of it.
Yeah.
And so when, and I kept the Cyber Ninjas, when they worked on all of that, they were just, I mean, they were demonized, I guess, to put it mildly.
No, you're right, Aaron. They still are being demonized, and they're, Doug went ahead and terminated the business, filed bankruptcy, and got all of his employees different positions, really nice. In fact, every single one received a pay increase. He felt terrible. It's been 2 years almost since the hearing, and it's been over 2 years for the hearing, but since the forensic audit, and Doug is, I forget how many times he's been subpoenaed to appear before grand juries or some other fact. It's interfered with his ability to work, because a lot of people don't want to touch him. He's too controversial or whatever. And it's a shame. It's an absolute crying out shame. It's the weaponizing of our Department of Justice, etc., which is what has been discussed openly. Doug Logan, I knew him fairly well and have known him. He and I met a month, actually 5 weeks before the forensic audit began. We began to look at not only things like where it should be held, but what would be the unique considerations, security considerations, media considerations, and 100 other food implications, you know. So we began to meet and discuss all these things long before it was even held public, so we could have the time, along with one of his other key people, have the time to review everything, make changes, you know, that way we'd hit the ground running, so to speak. So he's a very honest, very sincere, very good heart, Doug, and his wife and his children. And yeah, it's taken quite a toll on him. I think it's taken a toll on others who have stood the course and have attempted to sincerely reveal the level of atrocities and fraud and security breaches that occurred in both the 2020 and 2022 elections. I really don't know what it's going to take to wake up people completely. I'm glad to see people more awake today than even since last January, a year ago, let's say. But, boy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We're on a very, very slippery slope.
Well, and the thing that I don't want to miss that seems to get buried in whenever you start talking about the voting issue is that just stopping, you know, the casting of ballots for people to just disengage from the system of voting, that doesn't fix the problem. You know,
no,
you have a lot of people who just go, well, that's it. I'm not going to vote anymore. It's like, that's actually not the best idea.
You're right. Very right. Because the socialist movements in this country are trained, and I mean that literally, they're trained to go the course that any obstacle that comes in your way, any, regardless if it's legal, some physical, whatever, doesn't matter. Any obstacle in your way, you just merely divot or pivot and move around and keep going. If you do get stopped, the Rules for Radical Handbook will teach that at the very first opportunity, you pick up and continue with where you left off. In other words, you don't deviate from your goal. You don't deviate from what it is you're going to accomplish. Conservatives, they don't have that mindset.
No, because we, you know, typically we're working in sort of an A to B paradigm. You know, let's find the straight line, go there, and then go back and live our lives. Go back and work, run our businesses, live our lives, deal with our families. You know, we're not just sitting there sharpening our axe all the time, waiting for the next, you know, protesting. It's funny. We ran into some people in church today at the end. We hadn't seen in a long time. And it's like, how's it going? You know, the usual. And then his wife goes, you know, what's up with all these people protesting? And they both go, yeah, what we want to know is, how do these people afford to protest all the time? Like, don't they have to go to work? And it was kind of well, that is the $64,000 question, isn't it? You know?
Unless you come to realize they're being paid right now for the work that they are doing.
That's exactly it. And that was what we talked about. Yeah. But, yeah, they were so funny. They're like, look at these people don't have to go to work. The rest of us have to go to work. But see, that's what conservatives think of that. Not, you know, what nefarious group is probably paying them, right? They're thinking, how did they get all this time off work? Well, you're assuming they have jobs.
Lyle, in light of all the inconsistencies, let's call them, in the last couple of elections and the facts that have come out, do you think enough is being done or has been done to prevent this from happening in 2024? Because I don't see. I mean, there has been changes. There's been some rule changes and so forth. But are they going to be able to do this all over again in 2024? I mean, the same thing.
Quite possibly. I just did a show a couple of weeks ago. Again, people go on to ArizonaToday.com and just pull up the videos. I did a show a couple of weeks ago with, she's the mayoral candidate. Yeah, do you remember? Gabrielle, wasn't it?
Yeah, because you had sent me a note. You said, because I haven't seen him yet, you said you had the candidates for Pennsylvania and one from Tennessee, both from two, you know, obviously two different cities, two different states.
Right. Well, Gabrielle was on the show, and the reason I put her on is because only a night or two before we found out during their election process in Franklin, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville. When people went in to vote, they would hit her name, click on her name, and the vote would immediately go to her opponent, and they watched it.
Wow.
And a number of people saw this. Other people would click on her name and would have to click, 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 because it was not moving. Nothing was happening. They were clicking. And that happened to a number of people. There was also evidence that showed that numbers were being manipulated from afar. In other words, there was access, outside access to the machines. She went ahead and contacted Representative Fincham. Representative Fincham led the charge in 2020 and has continued to be one of the main people up to this time period that we're talking on election security, election fraud issues. And he's now working, has been working nationally to secure elections coming up in 2024. When we look at the people who were involved in this thing, there was never, ever an intent, a word spoken, a statement, nothing that said, we're going to go in and prove that Trump won and Biden didn't. That was never said, ever, at least in anything I knew of.
Hmm.
It may have been thought of somewhere. I'm being really deadly serious, but I swear to you, I never, ever, 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 ever heard anyone say that or anything similar. There were serious questions, very serious questions, about ballot fraud, ballot integrity, machine fraud. There were serious questions, and by that I mean now I just questions, but people were coming forward with evidence that was very alarming, if true. And yet, since that time, when we had that joint public legislative hearing in Phoenix with Mayor Giuliani, Arizona has continued to lead the way among six other states, plus even more than that, in election integrity issues. Now, I just did that show with Rebecca down in Franklin, Tennessee. If you go to that show, listen to the evidence. Listen to what they came up, what was brought forward for election fraud issues. It's startling at this late day.
And did that come from observers, election staff?
It came from poll workers, observers, and electorate. In other words, people coming in to vote.
Sure. So stepping away from the process doesn't fix it, but getting involved in it and being hands-on with it actually is the
name of the game. One of the worst things that could happen is people who really, really care about this nation and not just mouth service, they vote.
Yep.
I
want them to struggle to cheat. You know, I mean, you know, we flood them with so much. They're like, we didn't see that many people showing up.
That's a very good point you're making.
We have to take a really quick break, a real one, and then we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and he is our hostage for the next hour. Yay for us!
Have to do another hour?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So $1.80?
That's another, that's probably at least another 10 cents, you know, at the rate you're going.
the rate I'm going?
I've got to talk to her about that comment.
What?
Wow.
Come on, I just wanted to be...
Hey, Bill, help me out here.
Christmas.
I just wanted to join in on Man World. I thought it was all about the fighting. we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember.
paid a price to be free. Remember who we are. With our blood, sweat, and tears. Remember who we are. Will our children be the ones asking us one day why we didn't do enough, why we gave it all away? We keep our faith when there's no way out. When there's little hope, we show no doubt. We go the distance, no matter how far.
Yeah, seemed appropriate. We need to get off the dime and participate. And you know, before we get too far into the details and all these different things, it's really important for people to understand that in most of our areas, they are mailing out ballots. It's not where you sign up for absentee, but they automatically mail you a ballot. And one of the huge problems in 2020 was people did not understand really the system. And when they got their mail out ballots, they were like, what's this? You know, this could be voter fraud, you know, so they shredded them. You know, most people didn't just throw them away, but they shredded them and they didn't, and they decided, I'm going to go to the polls instead. Fine. But if you don't take that ballot that they mailed you, they can't verify that you didn't vote twice. So your vote at the polls gets put into provisional status and gets counted way later. It doesn't count that night because they have to make sure you didn't vote twice. So if you get a mail-out ballot, even if you're an absentee voter, take that to the polls, and they'll either give you a new one to vote in person, they'll let you drop it in a box, or it depends on where you are. But whatever you do, don't shred that ballot that they mail to you. It's not like we agree with the automatic mail-out ballots, but the fact that they're doing it, you got to be smart about how we handle them.
Yeah, because I think every county in California now is mail-in, right?
They're not all mail-in. You can go to the polls, but they're going to mail you a ballot automatically.
Yeah, they're all
going to
mail everybody a ballot.
Yeah, do they do that with you guys, Lyle, in Arizona? Do they mail everybody a ballot? Lyle, are you trapped in the cone of silence? Oh, you're back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Can you hear us now? That's awfully quiet. That was very uncharacteristic of you.
Well, no, I was listening to you because you're right. One of the problems, there's multitude, but one of the problems has been these drop boxes where people can just take their ballots and drop them in the box. It's been proven that that's totally unsafe. The ballot does not, the chain of custody is not maintained many times. Likewise, people can submit multiple ballots and nobody's checking where they're coming from, who they are they valid.
See, we have ballot harvesting in California, and so states with, like people in California, when they saw the gal stuffing all those ballots in the drop box, she can't do that. And it's like, yeah, you can, actually. If you go gather up all the ballots from your neighbors, you can actually drop them all off now.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
That's legal now.
Yeah, it's becoming more nebulous all the time by design. That way nobody really knows what the rules are, who's on first, what's on second.
Well, and I guess that's, I guess if anything, I would say, you know, check with your county clerk and find out how it works in your county.
You're exactly right. That is a huge thing, is that counties still rule.
Yep.
One of the things we're looking at here in Arizona is the real possibility with $180 million coming in to convert our legislature to be like California. And I'm telling you, it's close right now.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, it's only in the Senate, I think we have two votes, Republican over the Democrats. And in the House, I think we have three votes, four votes, something like that. And so it's that close. And yet, look, I don't want to detract, but no matter what, almost no matter what takes place at the national or even state level, counties still have a degree of sovereignty under the first, under the 10th Amendment of our Constitution. So it is really important that your county supervisors or commissioners, whatever you call them, along with a number of the county officials, are aware that the citizens are on top of this or that, or are not appreciative of this or that, whatever it may be. And if the citizens really, truly begin to communicate at the county level,
yep,
that will make a huge difference.
And it is your county clerk. In the county clerk's office, your elections office is at your county clerk's office. So I know a lot of people wait until, you know, the 11th hour to find out what's happening, but now's the time. You know, what's our county doing? How's it working? And if you're interested in the process, go watch. Go be a poll watcher. You don't have to, you know, have any super special credentials. You sign up, they might have you go to a training so you know what you're looking at. But being part of the process is actually how you fix it. Disengaging from it is how you hand it over to the people who who wanted to disenfranchise you in the first place.
Boy, exactly. Right on. And that's one of the other things that I am noticing across the country, that people are not only really angry, but they're kind of fed up listening to election integrity issues. I think, unlike 2 years ago, 2.5 when we began this, I think more people today do know there was a very sophisticated, multidimensional assault on our electoral process.
Yeah.
I think they do know that more today. But they still don't see anything really demonstratively has come to hold most people accountable that should be. And I would agree with that. It's been very timely.
Yeah. It is one of those things where, you know, it's funny. I hear from folks all the time, like, well, you know, they don't teach civics anymore. And I'm like, okay, well, you could say that, but it's really funny because people in their 70s and 80s don't know how a lot of this works either the last few years. All of a sudden, we realized most of us have gone, we voted, you know, over the years.
Right.
But you never, you know, nobody ever got into the rocket science of how voting works, you know. How does it work? And so when they started mailing out the ballots, that's where people really, really got tripped up. And they you know, ran out and shredded them or didn't want to use them or whatever the thing was. And then all of a sudden, you know, participation on the conservative side really dropped. It was really easy for them to get cut out of the loop. And we have to make sure that that does not happen going forward. But cheating, help me out.
Yeah.
Cheating can't really happen. I mean, okay, can't is a big word. It's kind of like the all and never thing. But it is, how about this, incredibly difficult for the ballots in your county to be manipulated if your county clerk's office is not part of the process. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, sure. If they're not part of the process, you don't have a process.
Right, but if they're not cheating and they have actually tabulated your stuff correctly, verified it against your paper ballots and all that, if they're not into the fix,
it's kind of hard to happen prior to it getting there.
Kind of hard to happen afterward, though, I mean, because they already know the numbers, right?
Correct. So, I think you said a mouthful when you talked about if she or if they are not in the fix. What we've uncovered are a number of elected officials and highly appointed, in other words, high positioned individuals appointed that have all sorts of motives other than to safeguard the security of our electoral process and to make sure that we the people had our ability to make choices, unlike at least the preponderant majority of the nations, if not all other nations in the world. our forefathers, as you both know, gave us that privilege. So, and this is very esoterically taught, I believe. But we have, of course, the three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. But what I have said to elected officials, don't underestimate the fourth branch of government. That is we the people.
Yep.
And they'll look at you like, what? I go, we the people. If you read the Constitution, you'll see that our forefathers did everything they could to make sure that we the people were represented and we were not squashed down like they had experienced through the King of England. So yeah. I said, if you pretend there is no we the people, you've got a problem right there, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it's about putting your hands on the wheel and making that go. And in places where people don't like the ballot, a lot of conservative people don't like the ballot harvesting idea and the practice of that, and they think it's dirty and whatever. Well, that's I'm not going to say I disagree. However, if that is the law where you live, you better get with the program. So it is no longer, if ballot harvesting is legal in your state, it is no longer a problem to go forward and ask your neighbor, hey, do you want me to turn your ballot in for you? I mean, make sure that the people you know at work maybe have a day when everybody brings them in, and two, if you go down at lunch to the clerk's office and drop them off, or, we have a box here in town. It's in front of the city hall. It's kind of like Fort Knox. One of those Fort Knox box, and they pick it up at 5 o'clock. So, I mean, whatever you have to do, but get the thing turned in if you're not going to be able to get to the polls, because it's just going to be pivotal in the primary and also in the general next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear we're going to turn around and it'll be March, because shoot, we just saw you and we just talked to you in January. Now it's Thanksgiving. We have a turkey in the oven at home. We have to break for the news here. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. We're going to talk about some different stuff next hour. So stick with us. We're going to talk about border security and those kinds of things. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.